Chapter 264, Prohibition of Cursing One Particular Man or Animal, 1551. Abu Zayd Thabit bin Ad-Dahak al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, he is one of those who gave their pledge of allegiance to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, under the tree, said, The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, He who swears by a religion other than that of Islam is like what he has professed. He who kills himself with something will be tormented with it on the day of resurrection. A person is not bound to fulfill a vow about something which he does not possess. Cursing a believer is like murdering him. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. He who swears by a religion other than that of Islam here means either of the two things stated here. For instance, if a person says, If I do such and such, then I am a Christian or a Jew. Now, if he really intends to embrace Christianity or Judaism, he will immediately become so because his intention to be a kafir, disbeliever, is kufr, infidelity in itself. But if the vow is meant to deny the adoption of other religions and is intended to express his firm resolution to live as a Muslim to the last, even then such a vow is undesirable and is a sin for which one must seek Allah's forgiveness. The last sentence of this hadith evidently shows that to curse a Muslim is forbidden because it is akin to killing him. 1552. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu said, The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, It does not befit a Siddiq, righteous Muslim, to frequently curse others. Muslim. Commentary. Taunts, curses, and abusive language are contrary to perfect faith and fidelity. 1553. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu said, The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, Those who frequently resort to cursing people would neither be accepted as witnesses nor as intercessors on the day of resurrection. Muslim. Commentary. The habit of taunting and cursing makes a man sinful. Such a person has no value with Allah, and his testimony and intercession will not be considered on the day of judgment. 1554. Samura bin Jandab radiyallahu anhu said, The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, Do not curse one another, invoking the curse of Allah or wrath of Allah or the fire of hell. Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. We learn from this hadith that Muslims should neither curse nor imprecate each other. For instance, they are forbidden to say, May the curse of Allah be upon you, or I wish you to burn in hellfire, etc., etc. 1555. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu reported, The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, A true believer is not involved in taunting or frequently cursing others or in indecency or abusing. At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. This hadith tells us the virtues of a mu'min, true Muslim. Taunting here means to disgrace someone with reference to his lineage or by means of backbiting and slander. La'in is a person who is given to frequently cursing others, reproaching and using abusive language. Fahish is one who commits through word or practice immodesty. Badi is a person with a loose tongue. This word is also used for an impudent and abusive person. This hadith strongly criticizes these vices. 1556. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu said, The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, When a person curses somebody or something, the curse goes up to heaven and the gates of heaven get closed. Then it comes down to the earth and its gates get closed. Then it turns right and left, and if it does not find an entrance to go anywhere, it returns to the person or thing that was cursed, if he or it deserves to be cursed. Otherwise, it returns to the person who uttered it. Abu Dawud. Commentary. Al-Lana, curse, means deprivation of Allah's mercy. We learn from this hadith that the act of cursing is such that one who does it can become himself a victim of it. One should therefore abstain from cursing. 1557. Imran bin Husayn radiyallahu anhu said, We were with the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, on a journey, and there was a woman from the Ansar riding a she-camel. She abused and invoked curse upon it. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, heard it and said, Offload the she-camel and set it free because it has been cursed. Muslim. Commentary. This hadith teaches us not to curse animals. It also teaches us to treat them nicely and be patient with them. 1558. Abu Barza Nadla bin Ubaid al-Aslami radiyallahu anhu said, a young woman was riding a she-camel on which there was the luggage of people. Suddenly she saw the Prophet, peace be upon him. The pass of the mountain became narrow for her people because of fear. The young woman said to the she-camel, go ahead. When it did not move, she said, O Allah, curse it. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the she-camel that has been cursed should not accompany us. Muslim. Commentary. Some people have taken this hadith to mean that the she-camel cursed by the young woman was abandoned there, and it was neither used for transport nor conveyance, as was the practice in the pre-Islamic period with she-camels, which were let loose for free pasture for the polytheists' false gods, and nothing was allowed to be carried on them. Such she-camels were called as as-saibi. There is no justification for such interpretation because the she-camel was not set absolutely free like as-saibi. All that was done was that because of the curse, it was considered unworthy of the entourage, company of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Except for this bar, it was valid for all other purposes. Thus, this hadith proves that it is not permissible to associate with people who are given to sins and heresies in religion because they have been cursed. When one is not permitted to keep an animal which has been cursed, how can one possibly keep company with people who commit acts as a result of which they have been cursed?